tycker inte om när du tjatar.
Jag är så trött på den här ökenmusiken.
Äntligen är du fast, Bertil Enstöring. Och försök inte läsa något ur din bok, trollgubbe.
Dumskalle, trodde jag kan man få det.
Good to see you, Ben.
Dude, what's going on?
It's three wives ago again.
Dude, that's my life.
Not really, though, but I mean, it's been a while, yeah.
Yeah, it has. I started the Birch series with the Maiden one, obviously, and I listened to that last week. I'm trying to come up with theories as to why Peace of Mind sounds like it does.
It's a different sounding record, right?
Yeah, the bass is mixed massively loud compared to everything else. It's super forward. Yeah. And I was thinking, like, is it the monitors he was mixing on? And then I looked it up just before. It's like they've both done Electric Ladyland.
He mixed that in New York too.
Yeah, I can gather, yeah. But then I started thinking about the whole, when you talked about the minutes, you know, with the mastering. And Peace of Mind's like 44.
Yeah.
And Power Slave is 52 and or 50 or over 50. And then Summer in Time is 52. And it's like that would necessarily, they'd pull Bottom End out to get the.
You definitely could have, right, yeah. I think it's like the needle is not going to be able to run the track.
It bumps out. Like it jumps, the needle would jump. But I was just thinking, wonder why that is, because it's a really interesting sounding record, and like it's cool, but you just that bass is so forward and wide, and then I'm thinking, is it making the guitars, is that just eating up all that low mid range, and then it's changing the sound, like it changes the way you hear the guitars on the side, because I'm listening to the sides, like what's going on the sides here, and then it's like, are the guitars really rounded off, or is it just that there's so much. I was even looking at George Marino mastered both of them. Was it in the mastering? Like, because it feels like it's a bandwidth over the whole mix, not just kind of like not like a bass that's just too loud, but it's hard to, it's just, you could drive yourself insane trying to work.
With no information. Yeah, exactly.
All speculation. It's like trying to solve Jack the Ripper by reading, watching two movies and going, oh, that's. But,
he would probably have been interviewed a lot if he was alive today. If he wanted to, if he allowed it, I think a lot of channels would interview him.
Oh, he would have been fantastic, But I respect the thing about him, It's prior to all this sort of, as you say, like the current sort of media climate where people can have a three-hour conversation about one song. It's like he got out before this stuff really took off.
Shall we start things up and do the episode?
Yes, let's start things up.
Hello, welcome back to Maiden A to Z. My name is Eric, and with me is my co-host, Jonathan.
Yeah, it's wow.
Been a while.
It's been a while. I posted 12 hours ago, thereabouts, in the friends group on Facebook, Friends of the Beast. Mm. Maiden A to Z, Friends of the Beast. And I realized it's the first time us recording a normal, quote-unquote, normal song episode since May. And we actually talked about the Mayflower Pilgrims back in May, which was a fun episode. I got some feedback saying that I didn't know you could say that much about that song. And neither did I, to be honest. I was quite tired at that time. I was run down, you know, as I get sometimes when we do a lot of this. And it's like, oof, this is starting to wear on me because, you know, it's a lot of nerdy focus happening and the brain is tumbling. So I was tired, but it went good. And then it was summer break time, right?
Yeah.
Matthias wanted to do this little extra thing on Martin Birch, which turned out as a huge, humongous fucking project.
That was how many parts was it? Like six?
Six parts, 7.5 pretty, hours.
That's impressive.
Because he made shitloads of albums. And yeah, it took its time. It was hard. At a point in between there, Matthias was like, "Have you given up, man? Have you given up on me?" And I was like, "Oof, I don't know, man. Maybe I have. This is tough." But here we are. It's done, and I received, and thank you for that, a lot of nice compliments and big ups on that little series, which was, of course, produced by Matthias. But I did, the second fiddle in terms of talking and all the post-prod and shit. So there we are.
There we are.
It's done. Marvin A to Z is over, but of course Marvin is with us in almost every episode coming ahead.
He is indeed. So we're kicking this season off with, or this, whatever you want to call it, with a big... important song, I feel. And we had to bring in one of our big guns. I feel,
a big, important guest.
Big, important guest. So we have, all the way from Australia, Mr. Ben Webster.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here on such a monumental occasion.
Right. I'm missing the Power Slave poster in the background that you used to rock.
He's wearing a shirt, though.
Oh, all right. That's cool. Because you're in a new studio, right? A new studio location.
In my working closet. The poster wouldn't fit in this studio.
Ah, here studio. We go. Well, the smaller the studio, the better for talking, I guess.
Yeah, I think
yes.
So.
Well, you've received compliments on your sound before from listeners, so that's also a good thing, right? We're coming in with the strongest production, coming in with the strongest, well-rested hosts and guests, I hope. I feel well-rested at least.
Yeah, I'm pretty well-rested, as much as I ever am, I guess. But also, this is the first time I have a new microphone. I don't know if you see this.
All right, yeah, it looks very flashy.
Yeah, so it's production value, as a kid said.
Right, because yours was gradually dying towards the end. It was just a little issue at first, and then it's just like...
Weird. So I bought this new one this past summer. So what song are we talking about?
What song? Power Slave, of course.
Yes.
Power Slave. It's the second to last song on Power Slave, and it's the second to last song we do on Power Slave. And of course, the title track as well, which we've been doing a couple of title tracks back in the end, like Number of the Beast, No Prayer for the Dying. But what about this one, guys? This is a pretty monumental one, I think. And we usually start by going back to early experiences, right? Mine is pretty simple for this one because first time I heard it, I liked it as much as today. I feel it's a very easy, digestible, heavy metal, semi-epic title track. You know, it's a song I always liked. It's been in my top 10 on many occasions, especially then in the beginning.
Again, it goes back to the infamous tape in 1984 when I got the album. I can pretty much remember it almost to the day, and it's, as Jonathan said, it's still just amazing. It's such an epic tune. It goes through, you know, the key changes, the moods. It's that epic middle section that's... that really sort of puts that whole song over the top, really. It's into the real minor.
The heroic B minor, right?
Yeah.
B minor can get really tense. I like that key in particular, I would say.
We can talk about that later, but yeah, I love it. Awesome. Absolutely awesome.
For me, it's also very instant. First time I heard it, I don't remember the first time I heard it, but it would have been late 90s, somewhere around there. And I got to see it live for the first time in 2002, but not with Maiden. That was with Bruce's solo band. He did that. And there's something just inherent, just the, it has a kind of the evil sounding riff in the beginning that has a sort of Egyptian kind of feel, and that I think there's something just that imagery with the sort of pharaohs and pyramids and stuff that just is very cool and very metal. So it's it's just a very cool fucking song.
it does sound like the cover, it really, you know.
It does, yeah.
And it's where you almost wonder whether Riggs heard the song before he did it. I mean, obviously, who's to know? But
that's an interesting discussion, like, right? It, you know, him bringing his paints to Bahamas, not really wanting to go there, and living hell there because his oil paint is melting. He's lacking stuff, and they have to fly over new equipment for him, which is quite expensive. Just insisting, you will be at the Bahamas. But I mean, look at the record sleeve, though. Kind of paid off, I think.
It's one of my favorite album covers ever.
Even the color choices, because they're all a bit beige, right? All a bit
sandy
or sandy, and very clear though. So it's not like when I put a sepia filter on something to make it deserty and add it on Instagram, you know. It's not that. This is very nicely. Just the color itself.
We need a Power Slave filter.
Power Slave filter, yeah. That's like vibrant, right? It's pretty vibrant.
Yeah.
Rich in color and concept-wise, fall is starting, but it's a hot, sunny day today. It's kind of Power Slave weather, you know. I'm feeling it. And also, I brought this back. My sister gave this to me last Christmas.
Oh,
Ancient Egyptian Magic. A little book. Cool. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the back says this.
Egypt was famed throughout the ancient world as the homeland of magic, or Hika. Sacred spells help the spirits of the dead travel safely to the afterlife. Were inscribed on the walls of pyramids and tombs, and pharaoh's magicians turned scepters into snakes.
I actually don't know what scepters is.
A scepter.
A scepter.
Scepter. I know that when
like
you say
a,
it.
It's like
a sword, basically,
yes,
isn't it? Like it's got a very stylized sort of. Oh no! Is it a sword or is it?
No, it's a staff, isn't it? Like a staff?
Yeah, it's a staff, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, a staff, like a spira, maybe, in Swedish then.
Sure. Yeah.
So, can you get more metal, though, than pharaohs and magicians turning scepters into snakes? Most metal thing I've ever heard.
There's certain, there's a lot of these sort of... Yeah, it doesn't need to... It's metal as fuck, just being what it is, and it's like, it's always been... I remember, because my dad dabbled a bit in archaeology when he was younger.
Oh, my sister has a not a PhD, but a master's in archaeology.
All right, cool.
Yeah,
it's very fascinating. But when I was made aware of pyramids and that kind of stuff, and I was like, what's that for? And we don't know. And like, oh my god, that's so cool. And just the idea of that, these big structures and this fucking the Sphinx, things like that.
Yeah,
it's sort of like because nowadays there's tons of tons of conspiracy.
Oh, yeah, you mean History Channel at night, right?
Yeah, like the ancient aliens. And
so
like,
first it's like Hitler, and then it's the pyramids, and then it's aliens. And sometimes it's like Hitler with the pyramids and the aliens at the same time.
Aliens.
And I mean, I'm not into conspiracy theories, but I love the thing about the pyramids and how it's not proven, how it's heavily debated at all times, you know, by this scientist or this archaeologist, and how archaeologists and scientists fighting and stuff. It's super interesting to me, and it's still not explained. If it was, there would be like a solid theory out there, but it ain't, right?
Mm.
There's a great movie and also TV series called Stargate, and that's about essentially that the galaxy or the Earth, like that the pyramids were built, they're landing platforms for these big ships and whatnot. The aliens who go and pose as gods,
of course.
For these, ancient civilizations, and since their technology is so advanced,
man, not a god.
Is that there? You go.
Die too. So good, but let's make fools of ourselves and give our theories. Quickly, our theories on the pyramids. Mine is that they were built not by aliens, but they were built by a different civilization of human that there's no collection of, and they were power plants. So they would connect. They would connect to the orbit sort of the Earth, which could be like a magnet. That's my foolish theory.
I like that idea. I don't know that that's one.
Yeah.
Well, then it's
you've
one
put me on the hop here.
That's enough.
I just thought built by heaps of slaves that most of them died, if not all. in the achievement of the objective, basically, and just built over an extremely long period of time. And
do you think the objective was monuments, as in graves or tombs, or more like?
And that, the pyramids aren't
monument to culture.
I've heard they're not graves, right? Yeah. Have you heard the same, Eric? Yeah, that's like confirmed not graves.
But there is one pyramid. Fun fact, if you go to New Orleans, Nicolas Cage has built a pyramid in a cemetery. That's going to be to where he's going to be buried when he dies.
He's now, so
that's,
good.
So that's he's probably not built by aliens.
A perfect person.
It doesn't Maiden have anything
to yeah, I know. He's just like a perfect person, I think. And probably me and Eric, he's in our top. Him and Dave Murray.
Yeah.
It's like, who's first?
Oh, yeah, right. And then we got Adrian there in the fishing in the Nile, perhaps.
Anyway, so I think that imagine like you're among the slaves building the damn stuff, and like this really sucks, but you know at least we'll be part of the history of this. People, you know, like in years from now, people are like, yeah, they built this, and like cut to now, and people are like, we have no idea who built this.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think aliens, but it's also cool how you know sometimes let's say ancient earthly topics suddenly connect straight to sci-fi. So yeah. Pyramids are like, yes, you will be the judge of that, Eric, but they're kind of sci-fi.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, definitely.
They're otherworldly. Yeah. You know, like it's not like they existed on every other continent. It's just like an advanced civilization with really, what would you say, just like forward thinking. Just,
yeah.
You know, technology. Will or that sort Math. Of stuff. They're not just
That's why amazing. I suspect that it's some, at least maybe not a lost civilization of man, you know, that's big strokes there, but maybe some lost, there must be some lost knowledge that Definitely. It has happened in between building them and now, and like it's been measured, right, how they are so perfectly measured yet not perfectly exactly even, so there are discrepancies, analog it is in between the size of these rocks, yet it works really hard to do today, even with today's stuff, and how they even carve the rocks, like it's not proven, and carry them if they were not already there. Maybe it wasn't sand yet, who knows, right?
There's a lot of stuff like, I mean, yeah, because there's a lot of stuff like that. And also, I was thinking just about that if you jump ahead a few years to the Book of Souls album, there's a tune on that, the Book of Souls, which deals with other kind of pyramids in another part of the world, and that's sort of doing with the aliens and stuff and the whatnot, because we've already talked about that a long time ago at this point, but that deals in the how I interpreted that song. There's a lot of that does deal with the sort of idea of them being built from.
Yeah, I remember I gave you I had to proper analyze that tune, and you did a good job. I remember having a good time at least recording that episode. Yeah. Good lyrics in that chorus. Yeah. So should we maybe bring out the lyrics gods. For this? Yeah, the Sky Gods.
I'll get the lyrics for this one, yes. I can get the lyrics.
Yeah, maybe let's bring them up, because I felt initially with three guitars on, I always have to make sure that we do lyrics proper. But in this case, it's not that hard, right, Ben? It's kind of this topic is just screaming for us nerds to just walk right in there.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's see here. Like, just the first bit here is cool as fuck. Into the abyss I fall, the eye of Horus, into the eyes of the night, watching me go. Green is the cat's eye that glows. Hello, I have a cat here. That's not part of the lyrics.
Cat's eye.
In this temple, enter the risen Osiris, risen again. It's so badass.
Yep.
When you can hear the vocal, the risen again.
That I love that bit there is with the sort of, it's so cool.
It's really cool, really good. And I've played this with three singers, and they all like singing the song. I believe that even this, that sounds derogatory, but I think Blaze could have done this pretty well. But they never attempted it because it's written solely by Bruce Dickinson. Yeah. And they didn't really do that. They compromised with like 2 minutes, right? Which was written by two past members.
Yeah.
And maybe they played Madness as well, did they? No, they didn't play that
in the Blaze era.
No. So 2 minutes was a compromise, right? But they, other than that, they avoided it. Blaze said before that he always wanted to sing Wasted Years, which he has done in his solo career later, but that was a Smith tune, right? So yeah, they were all kind of erased. And what do you guys think? Maybe that was a big problem for Maiden, having to remove some of their absolute most killer tracks written by then past members.
I think that there's something to be... I think maybe that they could have thrown some SF in there, especially since there's probably some of those tunes that he could have done very well, better than some of the stuff they had him doing.
Yeah.
For instance, I mean, this is just a sort of side note about that kind of thing. So this past week, me and Camilla went to see Blink 182 play, and they had a period where they had another guitarist and singer who was part of the band for a number of years, and then he left, so the original guy came back.
Bored to death.
Yeah. Yeah, they played that though. They played a couple of the songs that Tom wasn't on. Now he sang the other guy's parts. I think it's cool that they sort of acknowledge that and just don't pretend it doesn't exist. Like, I know Judas Priest infamously kind of pretend the whole Ripper era never happened. I think that's a real shitty way of doing it.
It's also funny that Ripper keeps talking about it. I saw an article posted just now before joining you guys, which said like Tim Ripper wishes there was a Judas Priest concert featuring ex-members stuff or ex-members on stage.
I'm sure
it was an article. And then I saw Engberg from Sorcerer, Christian's band, writing, "Just gave up." That was kind of fun too.
My favorite headline.
Give it up, boy. You're out.
My favorite headline of the past in the metal news recently has been the Dave Mustaine quote that he doesn't really talk about his time in Metallica. Like, yeah, I think
Who would have known? Like, oh yeah, it never happened.
Yeah, he never brings that up. That's fine.
Yeah. So anyway, Egypt, ancient pyramids and stuff. We got some terms here, some terminology happening already. Mm-hmm. We got Heka on the back of this book, which is not mentioned in the song. Heka, which is Egyptian magic. We got the Eye of Horus, which is right here on the back of this book and also on the front, right? And we got the Nile, which is the river, very famous river, like a cradle of life in ancient times, right? And what else do we got? Cat's eyes. The cats are a big part. The feline gods, right? Feline deities. Yeah. And one more thing, right? Osiris. What's Osiris?
That's one of the... let me check exactly, but there's... I mean, they have so many gods there, didn't they?
I think that was like a skater brand when I was in middle school.
Osiris. That's probably not where they got it from.
Wet Willy. Wet Willy and flaming something.
Osiris, lord of death and rebirth. Osiris is the Egyptian lord of the underworld and judge of the dead.
Ah, so like Hades.
Yeah. Mm. Brother. Well, this is a weird. Brother slash husband to Isis, and one of the most important. that's weird.
That's classic. That's classic. Yeah, old school stuff.
Yeah, and So basically, Lord of Death and Rebirth. That's pretty metal.
Pretty apt. Yeah. And have you guys heard Bruce's little thing about this tune? I'm now paraphrasing it because I can't remember which documentary. Maybe Flight 666, who knows? But he said that it was a bit of a... Well, it wasn't like he was sitting down to make an epic, let's say. He was touring, and this was not the World Slavery Tour, but he already felt, you know, that he was a bit of a slave to the tour, he said. Slave to the power of the tour. And he also noticed a little funny technical thing, like on the monitor system, the hearing system, you got masters and slaves. And basically, it's like one of the system runs the show and the other one listens to the master. So he noticed that slave logo on one of the vocal monitors, and it was a power slave. Because he got this power from another monitor. So he was a power slave. Yeah. And
so that was written on the monitor, power slave.
Probably, or at least the words power and slave. So that's where he found it. And then he said, and we ended up in ancient Egypt, like almost all heavy metal bands seem to do eventually.
Okay. Yeah, which is true, right? I mean, Dio did one of my favorite Dio tracks.
Gates of Babylon.
Also,
Creeping Death.
Creeping Death, that's Egypt.
Same year. Yeah, very cool song. Very good lyric for a young guy like Hetfield was, I have to say. Very, very good. Yeah.
Also, didn't Dio do one about the what's it called? He has another one.
Lost in Line had no Egyptian flavor, but I remember the video being a bit like.
Hold. There's one. Let me just find it. It's a good one, but I can't remember the.
With Dio or Rainbow?
Egypt within parentheses. The chains are on.
Right, that's on Last in Line, right?
Yes, it is. Last song on Last in Line.
Yeah,
from '84.
Wow, from 84.
They're all there.
Maybe we can make some calculations with them, including the geographical positions of the pyramids and 84.
There's something like the aliens who did the pyramids. They had like something in there that that at certain points, I don't know. We'll figure it out later. Let us speculate about this during the episode. We'll figure out some sort of very outlandish conspiracy theory as to why that happened.
What's next in the lyrics then?
Well, tell me why I had to be a power slave. I don't want to die. I'm a god. Why can't I live on?
Love it.
When the life giver dies, all around is laid waste. And in my last power, I'm a slave to the power of death. Like these are, that's also.
Last hour, right? Must be.
In my last hour, I'm a slave to the power of death. Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. And I remember Axel in previous guest a couple of times, Number of the Beast, for example, and made him important, right? He had this one as an example of a good lyric that could be applied to a dictatorship or a dictator, or someone running rampant. Because he's not very pleased facing the fact that he's going to die. And he kind of denies it, right? Like, I'm a god. What the hell is this? What the fuck is happening? I'm not supposed to die. So it's a song that is, I don't know how that would connect to Bruce himself touring. It's a very cool topic maybe about, the highest leader or the most powerful man known dying, right?
Yeah.
It's a cool point.
I mean, I imagine like to a certain extent. I mean, this is just again. I'm not necessarily the person who's gonna know this perfectly. But I think that a lot of times the pharaohs and those kind of people were treated as if they were, up level gods. So I guess imagine if that's how you're living your life, and that's you might buy into that yourself a bit towards the end, and then if you think kind of see yourself almost as a god, I guess
actually, I don't think you have to buy into it. Sorry for interrupting you, but I think were probably raised from age born now, believing that you were a god, and you had a lot of people, let's say, upholding this myth or this lie since you were born. So maybe it would be hard to even, you would be brainwashed from the start believing this. You wouldn't even have to tap into it, I think.
I just, this is a side note, and I'll just do it very quickly. I saw there's one of those ghost hunter shows. Like, there's tons of them. There's a medium guy, medium as in
average.
Talks to the dead.
I'm not speaking about he's like not just Robert randomly mentioning what size of shirt he wears. his name is Terry Evans. He's a British guy.
Or he's average.
He's just average. It's fine. he did this thing. They were down in Egypt. And he was going to, very dramatically, he was going to try to, there's one of these pharaohs, I think it's like Ramses II, who might have been murdered or might not have been murdered. So this British dude, Terry Evans, was going to get in touch with him and find out once and for all if he got murdered or not. So he went there to the tomb and did stuff there. And then eventually he did get in touch with this guy and he could say that, no, he was not murdered. And then that's how that played out. That was like an hour of my life watching that. It was all right.
I should have said that in the beginning.
Yeah. Also, I don't think people have taken it like, oh, well, that's sort of that out. Let's update the history books.
Right. So on the back of this book, Ancient Egyptian Magic, actually, check this out. It's also written by Christina Riggs.
Wow.
Connections. And it says you learn how to, you get a little, like four things here to sell it. You learn how to summon spirits and speak to ghosts.
Hmm.
Craft an amulet to keep demons at bay. Read the future in the stars. Oh, more sci-fi there, yeah. And travel to the land of the dead and survive it. It's good stuff.
So this stuff you can learn from this book?
I think it's tongue-in-cheek, I would guess.
I know, but
in
theory,
it says that, on the back it says that, yeah.
How big a book is it?
200 pages, yeah.
That's a lot to get in.
Yeah.
I'm not a very strong reader, but this one should be consumed in its entirety, I think.
Well, especially if that's what you could do after reading it.
Right?
What happened to Eric? He just vaporized. He's in the stars now.
He's in the stars with the...
It's pretty dead on for you, this stuff, right? It's Iron Maiden, it's ancient mythology, and it's
I love
sci-fi.
I have a few books of that kind of... like ancient, like magic shit behind me. I haven't really read those either, but...
And ghosts. You like them too,
ghosts,
right?
Ghosts,
obviously ghosts.
I got a ghost there. There we go.
And then you have to insert I need to find another variation of that.
If we get, just think before I forget, we get back to the lyrics.
Yep.
This would have been during the Somewhere Back in Time tour, I guess. So 2008. If you happened to be in, I guess, various parts, it might have just been China, actually.
Okay.
But I know in China, and this is on YouTube, when they played this song, Bruce was not allowed to sing the word power slave.
True.
Because
I've sampled that before, but it was way back. Tell me why I have to be a wicker man.
Yeah, he does that instead because he's not allowed to sing. They didn't want him to sing power slave because of...
Might give people ideas.
Yeah, and there's a few other ones they weren't allowed to. They couldn't do the Union Jack because they're like, no flags, unless you're, you know, I guess. There's a couple other things they couldn't do because, you know.
Right. He willingly scrapped the Union Jack in Ireland, I think, because they were pissed. They got
Say that that might have been that was a good idea.
And it was good that the Irish country didn't stop him, that they actually were stopped by the people themselves. I think that's a better way, probably. To do it.
I don't know that what would have happened necessarily, that things would have gone horribly wrong had Bruce sang Power Slave instead of Wicker Man.
Would they even have noticed? I think maybe some clerk in the offices of Chinese government read through all the lyrics or something.
That had something, and then that word stood out.
But if he would have then sung it, I don't think they would have noticed. Maybe not.
No, I think they could have gotten in trouble afterwards.
Jail. Imagine
that. Who knows? I mean, yeah, that wouldn't have been good.
Not at all.
So should we keep going in the lyrics?
Let's go, yeah.
Now I am cold, but a ghost lives in my veins. Silent the terror that reigned, marbled in stone.
Hmm.
A shell of a man God preserved for 1,000 ages. But open the gates of my hell, I'll strike from the grave.
Another one that I strike from the grave. It's so good.
All this stuff is just, so it's like, yeah, I don't know what to say. It seems like I'm just repeating myself saying that's another fucking cool line, but it's just filled with just gold the whole way through.
Right.
And then we got another chorus.
What do you think, Ben, about that verse? Because for me, it simply seems to be like, you know, he's dead and then he's mummified. Yep. That's about it, right?
He's interred in the into the pyramid or wherever he now lays.
Interred with his bones.
Yeah. But it's funny that you talk about the power slave and then you go back to the leader of the country that says you can't say the word power slave. It's like the irony that these people confuse themselves with godlike figures, you know, or superior being, you know, somehow good superior. Yeah.
It kind of comes around 360, right, at that point.
Yeah.
So, and it was just a whimsical about fucking monitor systems on stage. But that's something I say sometimes, and it's a tip to everyone that wants to be creative in any fashion. The idea doesn't have to be that great initially. You have to make it great as you do this. You know, the idea can be something silly, and it can become something huge. Just saying, it's a tip for y'all. Mm.
Yeah. So a couple of words on a speaker thing led to this amazing song.
Yeah, which in turn keeps leading to realizations now and, you know, fans all over the world, basically. So, yeah, it can lead very far.
Yeah.
At least if you're Bruce Dickinson, could team up with Steve Harris.
So, then we get, like I said, yeah.
That's a good start.
So, lyric-wise here, that's basically it, because after this, it's just chorus stuff again.
So, it's not overly crowded by words.
No, but there's nothing in there that's you know, firing at all six cylinders. I don't know. It's basically perfect, is what I'm trying to say.
It's almost like it's better than the actual lyric is. Some lyrics are, I think. The discussions we can have, and we just had basically, surrounding it is above and beyond. Actually, it's just a cool metal. Ancient Egypt lyric, in its raw form, really is like a classic one.
Yeah,
much like Creeping Death, then, but that was especially on Exodus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Angel of Death and the markings of blood on the doors, and very impressed by that actually from James Hetfield. He was really young in '84. Mm-hmm. He's like 20, you know, 20 flat, and like the verses are so well. we're not going to talk Creeping Death all day today, but I got some Metallica Tourette's, right? So
yeah.
I'm mentioning it again, but the verses in Creeping Death are so well spaced. Down, da 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 down, da 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 down, down, da da do do do, da da da. I'm very impressed by a 20-year-old, like just getting that out of him.
It's amazing. It's a great song.
Yeah, lyrics. What do you guys think? Did we do them? I think we did them.
I think we did them.
Yeah.
We got through them.
Because there's so much music to unpack.
Do they rhyme? They don't rhyme, do they?
Oh, yeah. Good question. Into the
Not really. Well, so you got sort of, it kind of has a vibe of rhyming, but not like you have veins and then rained.
All right.
So yeah. It's, you know.
Eminem would say that's a rhyme, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome. And he's a good rhymer.
Into the eyes of the night, watching me go. And then the cat's eye that glows. I mean, sort of, you know, it doesn't.
Yeah, it's an internal rhyme. It's, yeah, because it's thinking more about it's how great his vocal is that you don't even sort of realize that it's not really like rhyming or anything like that. It's just, it's all in the delivery and
the
atmosphere of the
song. And everyone likes singing this song. Everyone does because it's a singer song, I think, in terms of how he sings. Compared to perhaps Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, which is of a musician's song, maybe more so.
Yeah.
Well, that's later.
He's sort of singing in his lower register in those verses, and then he just he's taking it up to at the ends, you know, those big leaps on the.
Na 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 na.
Those but that's why you think someone like Blaze could sing it, because it is that mid register sort of belt. You know, he's just delivering that rather than not sort of go. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward actually melodically. And easier to sing, yeah.
Something I've noticed with singers, if the range is limited either downwards or upwards, you can climb there. You cannot go straight there. So that means that Blaze potentially could go higher starting from that kind of belting tone and then do-do-do-do-do. It probably wouldn't have a problem, but it's much harder when you, as oftentimes in Maiden, have to hit that high note.
Yeah.
Bang on initially. Then you need to call like Klaus Meine. The guy that hits comes in straight at the actual exact pitch. And because most singers work their way in up or down.
Yeah, they kind of slide up to it. Yeah.
It's a. Let's see here. Well, that's.
Tons of music to unpack.
Yeah. There's a bit of that, yes.
There are even ISO tracks for this one, you know.
I don't know. I haven't even.
I've got them. The gods are willing. Yeah, so we gotta do a bit of those actually. It's been a while since I played back this outro that I put together just before we started this. Actually, the intro, which is a mix of like Invaders, Creeping Death, Transylvania, and the Trooper, was meant to represent the 80s, and this outro was meant to represent more of the millennia era Maiden. It's kind of soothing, I think, anyway. And speaking of these tunes that serve as transitions within the show, thanks to Erik Arka for writing Iron Maiden at Home, which is the alternative intro tune for these Power Slave episodes. Now, we're at the end of episode one. Not that long of an episode, but maybe, ease you into it a little bit as we go back to the normal Maiden A to Z modus operandi. And also, there's quite a bit happening in the next episode, as you heard at the end of this one. ISO tracks are coming. So let's see. I haven't really been keeping Friday schedule lately. I know that some of you want it, and some of you are fine with me just uploading these episodes when post-production is done. So this time, look to the stars, see if you can decipher when these scepters will turn into snakes. At this point, I should just say, up the irons, into the eyes of the Nile, and squall from the north.